Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't stop over there yesterday, take a swing by there and see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan, so I want to start with football today because we actually have a corresponding story that goes with it. As you know, week 10 opens up tonight. We have the Carolina Panthers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as of right now, you and Stu are taking the Steelers to win, and I have the Panthers. No Mr. Fantasy contact yet, so we'll see if he gets in before the hour ends or before kickoff, and then we can kind of figure out who he's taking. But interestingly, Dan, I want to know how you think the Steelers should handle this because this morning, and it's interesting that it was this morning, they don't give a time frame, but Antonio Brown was cited as he allegedly drove over 100 miles an hour on a Pittsburgh street. He was charged with reckless driving. Apparently he went flying right past the cop. All the team said is that they are aware of the situation and gathering information. What do you do? Do you play him tonight, Dan? Do you bench him a quarter? Do you not start him? What's the penalty for a traffic ticket? And granted, it's going to be a pretty big traffic ticket because 100 miles an hour is a big deal. But what do you lay on him?
He's suspended for the rest of the season.
Yes. So, no, that's what the NFL will have to do to him. I mean, what did the Steelers have to do to him tonight?
Nothing, because it's not their job to prosecute him.
Well, you know how it is. It always seems to be. So, I get it. I mean, I think we've all had speeding tickets. I know I've had my share of them. I think you've had, one. I know Mr. Fantasy had one. There was actually a warrant out for his arrest in Indiana, so he was afraid to drive there for a while. He never went back and took care of it. But, yeah, I get that it's excessive speed, but I don't know. Is it really maybe the best penalty is he just doesn't start the – he doesn't play the first drive or something, like that.
Anytime I've had a speeding ticket at work, nothing was ever done, so.
Yeah, but you didn't make the paper when you got your. Oh.
Yeah.
I
make them do a press conference. That's all.
So, yeah, that was just kind of, the one thing that kind of popped out because, I'm always, interested to see how they kind of almost have to go about this when it comes to these things now because, before he probably would have just got fined for, genuine stupidity, which he probably will anyway because, it's a stupid move to be driving down a, 100 miles an hour. And I guess this was like a I don't know the fact behind it, but they made it seem like it was a residential, like it was just a regular street. you know, it wasn't like the highway or anything like that. So, you know, he probably deserves to be dinged for just being completely stupid. But, yeah, I, you know, this isn't like a, well, you've got to sit out a game. You know, it's not that kind of suspendable offense, right?
No. It shouldn't even be really talked about except for in city of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. I mean, anytime, you know, this kind of stuff happens, it's going to, you know, it's going to come up because that's, what you know, what else we, you know, there's so much stuff you got to, so much time you got to fill, Dan. What else are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's only, you know, there's only so much Le'Veon Bell talk I can handle because, you know, he's not there. And, you know, I did hear a humorous thing. There was a guy today that James Conner was going to be running for the game-winning touchdown with time expiring, and Le'Veon Bell was going to come out of the stands and tackle him before he got into the end zone. So I thought that would be awesome. So,
well,
you know, that,
I mean,
that could have been the story.
If you're Pittsburgh, what do you even care now?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure that one out, and that's where I, you know, I don't really understand it. You know, I mean, at this point, even if he comes back, do you want to play him? I mean, you're not going to give him 20, 25 touches a game with the way Connor's played, are you?
No, absolutely not.
So, yeah, I, you know, that just kind of baffles me. And, again, I get it. You know, it's a big story because, you know, very few guys have ever done something like this. I know Vincent Jackson did it years ago when he was with the Chargers, and I think they ended up trading him to Tampa Bay, and he got the big contract he wanted. You know, what's weird about Bell is he came out and said he wants to be paid as one of the top five players in the NFL. You know, Dan, when he comes back and goes into free agency, is somebody going to give him that money? Because, you know, obviously the top five paid guys are quarterbacks, and they make a boatload of money. I mean, nobody's giving a running back that kind of money, are they?
I wouldn't, no. Especially not him.
So, yeah, I just, you know what I mean? I get it. You know, he probably does deserve to be the top paid running back. You know, I have no problem with that. I mean, he's proven that, he's been the guy for years now. So I wouldn't have an issue with that at all. But yeah, to kind of insist that, you know, I need to be in the top five. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that works for me. So let me see if I can find the top five here as my computer slows down this time of day. All right, here we go, Dan. Five is Matthew Stafford. I don't know if we're all quarterback yet, but I'm counting down. He makes $27 million a year. Jimmy Garoppolo is at four. He makes $27.5 million a year. Your guy from the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, is at three. He makes $28 million a year. Matt Ryan is at two. He makes $30 million a year. And Aaron Rodgers is the highest paid player in the NFL this year, making $33.5 million a year. Obviously, all quarterbacks. As I go down the list, the top eight are all quarterbacks. The first guy who's not a quarterback, the ninth highest paid player in the NFL, Dan, you'll get a kick out of this. Khalil Mack. Yeah, Khalil Mack, $23.5 million this year for the Bears. So, but, yeah, out of the top 25 highest paid players, 20 of them are quarterbacks. So, yeah, are you paying, you know, okay, so to get him in the top five, he's got to get $30 million a year. Are you paying Le'Veon Bell $30 million? I mean, because, you know, he's looking for multiple years. So, say, even if it's 3 years, you know, say he agrees to 3 years, Are you giving him $100 million?
No, I mean, when you make, when he's trying to make his case and you look what, look at what James Conner has done, doesn't it more or less hurt him?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. You would think so. I mean, obviously they're acting like it doesn't, you know, but yeah, you've got to think. I mean, here we plug this guy in. You know, I think Conner was a, you know, I believe Bell was a third round draft pick. I think Conner was a third round draft pick as well, as, or maybe even later. But yeah, I, you know, you would just kind of think, well, hey, you know, if I get a decent guy who's a, you know, a solid running back, he can perform in, you know, that situation. And oddly, yeah, Conner was a third-round pick. I guess the Steelers know how to take running backs in the third round. Is that how that worked out?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just, you know, and I mean, again, you know, I get it. You want your money. But I just can't see, you know, that, that price tag coming in for the guy. You know, and again, put him at the top of the running back board. That's fine. I mean, I know Todd Gurley's there. I'm not quite sure. I, you know, I know Gurley just got a new deal, so that would be a good guideline for, you know, Bell and his agent to look at. But, yeah, I, you know, I don't, I just can't see him going, or a team going, oh, yeah, hey, here's $30 million. Take this. So let's see what Gurley got here. Yeah, see, like this year it works out to they really finagled this contract. He's got a, his base salary is just $950,000, but his signing bonus, Dan, was a little under $6.3 million. So that's how they kind of finagled that one. But like, you know, salary wise, next year his salary jumps to $5 million and the signing bonus is $4.2 million. And then to escalate the contract even more, when he gets to 2020, the salary itself is just $5.5 million. The roster bonus is again $4.2 million, or the signing bonus is $4.2 million, but he's got a roster bonus of a little over $7.5 million. So while he's getting all this money, they've really kind of stretched it out to do their best and, you know, not get killed on the salary cap. Like this year, his cap hit is just a little over $7.2 million. It does jump to $9.2 next year, and then the big hit is 2020 when it's $17.25 million. But then they've kind of worked it down. You know, the average on the contract is 14.375. That's kind of what Bell's looking at, right? About $15 million a year. You know, mm-hmm. He's not going to get double that.
No, I don't see it.
So yeah, it was just kind of strange with the Steelers and all their funky stuff, but. You know, yeah, you think with the way they're playing, you know, I mean, I know he's a great player, but, yeah, you got to wonder, I mean, hell, do they even really want him back? Can they just get him to sit out the entire season?
Well, in all likelihood, he's not going to, is what I've heard or read.
Yeah, well, you know, I know there's been some discussion on if he actually has to report. So, you know, again, it's too bad you don't have the NBA in front of you because you could be able to go through and tell us. But, yeah, you know, because, like, we were always under the impression that, you know, he had to report by, it was like week 11 or something to get credit for the year. But then I heard earlier in the week that he doesn't. So, you know, I don't know. And you would think they would know it, but we'll have to see. All right, you know, and I did want to ask you, Dan, while we're actually on football, did you run out and try to pick up Dez Bryant in our leagues?
No, I didn't even think about it. I did see that he's with the Saints now.
So yeah, he did officially sign with the Saints. I believe he I heard today that he's already got like some type of Who Dat T-shirt already ready to go for himself. But yeah, I actually did look, and he's actually been picked up in both our leagues. So I thought that was kind of humorous. So, but yeah, he'll be playing this week.
I'm sure the minute he even interviewed someone was picking him up.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know if you want to call this funny or how you want to kind of look at this, Dan. You know, I know you and I have discussed this a couple times. Remember when Bryant came out in the draft and he had the problem with, I believe it was the Dolphins general manager at the time when, you know, they went through the questioning process and he asked his, you know, the guys legitimately asked him, he said, you know, what does your father do? And Bryant's response was, well, he's a pimp. And they said, well, what does your mother do? And he said, well, he works for my father. So the follow-up question, well, so is your mother a prostitute? Well, that caused problems and got this guy in all kinds of trouble, even though I didn't really understand it because it, you know, basically Bryant was hinting that that's what his mother did, or at least that's how I took it. Well, this guy, Dan, I believe his name is Jeff Ireland. He's actually the assistant general manager for the Saints. So... Kind of interesting how that worked out, huh?
Very interesting. So it's all goes full circle.
But, yeah, you know, I was looking. You didn't happen to see or notice or hear contract details, did you? I was trying to look to see if I could find out what they signed him for, but I haven't seen anything, you know, on what he'll get for the rest of the year. I wonder if can we Bing that? Is that how that works out and see if things work out? Because, you know, Bing is Dan's favorite search engine. So, you know, just how just kind of how the way things go. So let's see what we can figure out. Yeah, here's what I got, Dan. It said signed a $1.25 million contract with New Orleans. So,
wonder what the signing bonus is.
They say it doesn't have one here. It looks like it's actually prorated, and he's only going to get $588,000 this year because he's only playing in, you know, six games or seven games or whatever. So... But yeah, that's the deal he's on, and he only wanted to sign for the rest of the year. I saw his interview where he said he wanted to prove himself, so he's just going to be there for the remainder of the year. And you know, I guess obviously if you're a wide receiver, that's one of the places you'd want to go, right? I mean, they throw the ball quite a bit, and it could be a really good fit for him, shouldn't it? Or hopefully. You know, and you know, I did find it interesting that everybody was saying that now we'll find out if Dak God is really a quality quarterback, because if Brian has success with the Saints, that means he's not. I was like, wait, how does that mean? It's two different teams, two different offenses. But you know, I guess that's just how it goes, right?
I mean, Dallas hasn't been doing that great, so.
So, but all right, well, let's switch it up here, Dan. I don't know, you know, how your day went, but it appears as though my Mariners rebuild has started, Dan. Did you see this trade?
No, another one?
Yeah, the Mariners shipped off Mike Zunino, their catcher, outfielder Guillermo Heredia, and a minor league lefty by the name of Michael Plassmeyer. They're going to Tampa Bay in exchange for Malik Smith and outfielder Jake Fraley. So there you go. There goes my the start of the Mariners rebuild, I guess. You know, now Zunino was a big time prospect. They actually brought him up rather quickly. I'm trying to remember if he even played above A ball. I'm going to look it up here real quick while we talk about the trade, because I know he came up fast and he had struggled. So, oh, where are we here? Yeah, he actually played 50 games in Double-A. In his first year, Damon, he spent 29 games in A-ball, 15 in Double-A. He played 19 in the Arizona Fall League. And then in 2013, he played 52 games in Triple-A before the Mariners called him up. So, yeah, he has all of it. Well, he ended up getting 202 games of minor league experience because they sent him down when he was struggling. So he got a few extra games there. But, yeah, he didn't have a ton of minor league experience. They really got him up there. And he is 27 now, going into his seventh season. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you like that? Can I be excited about this as a Mariner guy? Or, you know, I mean, I know Malik Smith had kind of a big year, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, Zunino and Guillermo really barely pushed past the standing area of 200. I mean, I don't really see I feel like with this deal, man, Malik Smith is the pretty much the cornerstone in this. And to me, I feel like the Mariners have been out. Now they've got a solid outfielder coming into his third season who they had when I read this morning. I totally forgot about this. I believe they had all of 10 minutes with the Mariners as he was on there, traded to them, I believe, this year. We're in 2017. And then traded away to Tampa for somebody. You know, to me, I feel like pretty much the deal, you know, well, it kind of helps with their outfield. But they're moving in the right direction.
So, all right, well, I guess, you know, this kind of leads me to the next question. Looking at their outfield now, Smith is probably going to have to play center field. Does that mean D. Gordon's out? He's the next guy to go?
Well, D. Gordon's in second or short.
Well, they got Segura at short, and then they got Cano at second.
Well, I mean, if they're going to trade anybody, you know, I know we talked about it yesterday, but Cano, you feel like it's off, maybe not offhand, but maybe too much money, but, you know, I think you look at it for the best deal. And that's the guy that they have to go.
You're fading out on me again there. I don't know what's going on. Did you?
I said one of those three has to be the one to go, whoever gets you the best deal. Gordon, Cano,
yeah,
or Segura. So, I mean, it's kind of up in the air, especially if they're rebuilding. And who do you look at? Who does give you the best deal?
You know, it's going to have to be Gordon or Segura. And, you know, my guess is Gordon, because I don't know if you want him playing full-time at short. You know, he's okay to fill in every now and then over there, but I don't know if you want him as your everyday shortstop where Segura can handle it if that's the route you're going to go. Nobody's taking Cano off your hands. I mean, he's 36, and, you know, with the time left on that contract, there's nobody going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll take him. So.
No, and you're right, because that's what I was trying to ramble and stall upon, was the fact that, yeah, he's signed through the age 40, and he is not up for free agency until 2024, making $24 million each year. Wow. And now I think we can see why. Now I think we can see why they're in the pickle, so to speak, as they're in. You know, with Hernandez's contract going, well,
yeah,
this season is the end of it. So I believe there's a $1 million buyout for 2020. I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know. Do you buy this? There was some talk of Cano possibly making the move to first base, which obviously would open up the opportunity for Gordon to play second base. But, you know, they went out and got Ryan Healy last year, and I thought he had a pretty good year for them. Obviously, he's a better defender at first base than Cano's going to be. Of course, I guess Healy could play first and Cano could DH. Because, you know, they've already kind of said they're not bringing Nelson Cruz back. But I don't know. Do you see Cano as a first baseman?
Not totally. But, you know, like you said, if you put that DH spot and give it to him, you know, maybe he can learn the field. Because they're going to have to do something with him over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, the next 5 seasons. So, you know, maybe it's the moving the direction they need.
You know, and obviously, Dan, this may give us the opportunity to see Dan Vogelbach play on a pretty regular basis. They call those moves. So, well, you know, that could be something we could be like, oh, hey, remember this guy?
But, you know. Well, I think you answered your own question when you said, who goes, D. Gordon, Gene Segura, and Cano? But if that DH spot is open, I think you answered your own question that, you know, you really don't have to move everybody. You know, they have Kyle. How would you like that infield? Seager, Segura, Gordon, and Cano, and Healy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have too big of a problem with, you know, with that, as long as Cano can play defense at first is what I, you know, he's going to hit. That's not a big deal. It's just, you know, can he, you know, it's not easy. You know, it's like Moneyball where they tell I forgot the guy's name, Hatterberg, when they go to his house and, oh, yeah, first base is easy to play. Isn't it, Wash? No. You know. So, you know, it's that always kind of reminds me of that when they make these kind of moves. So,
yeah, and I mean, like you said, Alex Smith in center field at 25 years old, I think he's definitely the cornerstone of that deal. You have Mitch Haniger and then playing right field at 27, who is, you know, hasn't even hit his first year of arbitration until 2020. You know, so, I mean, They've got some, you know, they can make some moves. Or they can do some stuff, but it remains to be seen. I don't know. I had, just like you, I had high hopes for this team over the last couple of seasons, but, you know, it never came together.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll have to, you know, obviously the way they're talking, they're not done. So we'll have to, I guess we'll probably have to wait and see what else they do, but, you know, what about this from the Tampa side, Dan? You know, I know they had a, you know, after they shipped Michael, or after they shipped Wilson Ramos off, I thought Michael Perez played pretty well for them. I know they were really concerned about his defense. You know, and Zunino is a very good defensive catcher. You know, Perez is a left-handed hitter. Do they maybe platoon them a little bit? You know, being that Perez can hit from the left side and Zunino from the right?
Well, Tampa's kind of been synonymous for the platoon. I think in all likelihood that's probably what's going to happen.
You know, they put, you know, they even platoon their pitchers. Boom, boom. Oh, so But yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if it makes either team better. I mean, I think, like you said, Smith is the best player in the deal. But, you know, I think, you know, Seattle has, I think their next catcher is like David Freias, and I don't think anybody wants to see him starting. So I don't know, maybe another prospect on the road.
I mean, to be honest with this deal, I feel like there's really no conversation to be made for Tampa Bay's end. You know, I honestly, I feel like these guys are, with the exception of Zunino, most likely going to hang out in the minors and eventually just, you know, kind of Dan Vogelbach it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure Heredia is their fourth outfielder or fifth outfielder. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a lot of major league experience and, you know, that. I don't know much about the pitcher. I saw that he was 22, but looking here, it was his first year last year at single A. And, I guess, you know, he didn't pitch too bad. He was 0-1, but his ERA was 2.25. This is humorous, Dan. He'll fit right in at Tampa Bay. He started 12 games, pitched in 13 total, threw all of 24 innings. So he's the perfect opener, huh?
Perfect waste of time of a pitcher.
So there. And then, I don't know, let me see this minor league outfielder here that Seattle got. Maybe he's something here. He did hit .347 last year at high A. It looks like he spent a year in Australia where he hit .361. So yeah, I don't know if we'll get much out of this here. He is only 23, so maybe. Yeah, obviously, you know, those guys are quite a bit ways away, if at all, to get there. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh boy, here we go.
No, I just don't think it's, you know, much to really talk about with Tampa, but because then even if you do get excited or start talking about him, I mean, I thought last year would be the year that Christian Arroyo is playing full time because he's going to Tampa and, you know, he was just kind of buried.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe.
You know, but, yeah, with Seattle, though, kind of going back to them, you know, you mentioned the three, well, Segura, D. Gordon, Cano. Obviously, Cano is not going anywhere. You're more likely to get something out of Gordon or Segura, but what do you think about them being able to possibly move Kyle Seager? I mean, I know he MO for this era, but to me, it just seems like kind of a disappointment at third base.
You know, I've heard some talk about that. I mean, I last year, obviously, I didn't think he was as good as the year before. So you've got to kind of wonder, you know, was one a fluke, and did he come back down to earth? And you know, I don't know, or maybe actually it was 3 years ago because looking at his stats here, but yeah, you know, you got a full time guy hitting .221. You know, okay, you know, I'll give you 22 homers. That's not bad for playing in Seattle. I mean, I know only guys like Nelson Cruz put up big home run numbers there. But, yeah, like in 2016, he hit 30 bombs and hit .278 and looked like, you know, he was going to be something. And the last 2 years haven't been much. You know, maybe it's time to move on. I mean, he's 31 now. I don't know. Is he signed? I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
looks like he's got a contract. But, yeah, it looks
he's
going to make
for
15.5 this year. Wow.
Well, $5 million signing bonus, but he's got 19, 19, and then $18 million in 2021. And it
I don't know if anybody's
going to buy out option.
They're going to have to pay a big that if they're going to move him. they're going to have to eat quite a bit of that salary, especially with that many years left.
But I mean, if he gets his numbers up by the All-Star break, you know, he could quite possibly be the guy that's the trade bait.
Yeah, you know, being that he's left-handed, and, I mean, he is a good defender, which is always, you know, still a big plus. I get, you know, defense isn't important as, you know, home runs, launch angle, and swing plane and all that stuff. But, you know, you still do need guys to catch the ball. So, you know, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe, yeah, like you said, if he has a really good first half, they possibly could manage to get something there. But, yeah, and then I did see, interesting, and I saw the Pirates decided to bring back Gung-Ho Gang. He started off pretty good for him those first couple of years here. You know, he played pretty well, and then he had that weird DUI in Korea where he's from, and he didn't play at all in 2017. Spent most of last year in the minors, just played 3 games at the major league level. So they're bringing him back for $3 million. Not a bad deal if he puts up the numbers like he did when he was here full-time.
Yeah, and I mean, in all likelihood, he could be on a better route to maybe perform at the major league level next year.
You know, it seems it's weird because, you know, he seems kind of like the prototypical Pirates player. You know, he can play multiple positions. It's like he's good but not great. You know, he's a very good player and he does a good job at the different spots, but I don't think you'd ever go, oh, yeah, he's great. And it does look – I've read a lot that Josh Harrison is going to be a pretty hot free agent, so maybe Gang gets some of those at-bats. Because, you know, the Pirates aren't matching anybody's money offered to anybody. So, you know, maybe that's the plan, possibly. So we'll have to see how that works out. You know, and I know I did see the Dodgers officially exercise Dave Roberts' option because I know they were working on a long-term deal. They were talking about three or possibly 4 years for Robert, who's one of the better managers in the game. But I actually didn't know this, and I'm afraid Dan is on his break and won't be able to comment on this. But apparently the way I didn't know this, Dan, but apparently the way the Dodgers work is Roberts has sent the lineup down from the front office for the game, and he is basically instructed how he's going to manage the game. You know, because it's set up sabermetrically there. Now, obviously, it got him to the World Series this year, but, you know, doesn't that make it weird that all those questions we kind of had about the moves, some of the moves Roberts made, they go on the front office now, don't they, after we find this out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to put it on the front office, I think it's awesome that maybe Dodgers is in the front row. Well, maybe not the front row, but wearing his Dodgers T-shirt, but, you know, allowing the manager to not do their job on the field, I think hurt them.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous, isn't it, that they micromanage that game so much that they give him the lineup and then more or less tell him, you know, because I guess they tell him, like, what pitchers to go to in situations and stuff. It's all kind of laid out for him. And I, you know, Dan, I don't know too many guys who would manage in that situation. Do you?
Dave Roberts.
Yeah. And I wonder if he knew that going in. I wonder if it was explained to him going in like that because, you know, I think if they would have decided to let him go, I don't think he would have been unemployed for very long. I believe there's only one job left open. But I still think, you know, he would have had a job pretty quickly. So, but, yeah, I I don't know. That just it seems like a bad way to run a baseball team, doesn't it? I mean, if the front office wanted to do everything, why didn't they just make the general manager the manager?
Because it breaks tradition of the game.
So, yeah.
Well, and,
I don't know.
At the end of the day, though, it's always going to come down on Dave Roberts. So,
yeah.
While myself and I saw a lot of people on Twitter, complaining and, a lot of it that he was the reason they lost the World Series. Well, and, first of all, the Red Sox were just so damn good. I think it was hard to beat them.
Yeah.
But I think, the selfishness of Manny Machado kind of plays into that. And the fact that, you brought up how come the best guy's not playing. Well, now we know why the best guys weren't playing
right.
In given situations because sabermetrically, Kiki was supposed to be better at those spots. Even though he posted like a sub-2 year batting average.
Yeah, if you got it, but yeah, it does answer a lot of questions because I know they were there was the one big spot where Robert went to the board. Nobody could figure out why he brought in the pitcher he did. And I'm trying to remember. I think he brought in Ryan Matson, and everybody didn't understand why he didn't go to Baez. And according to his card, Baez was unavailable. They didn't want Baez in that situation. So that's why he didn't go to him. He was managing according to what they said. And I think Matson ended up giving up a couple runs, and they ended up losing the game. But, yeah, that's why it was done that way. So, I mean, you're going to take shots at Roberts, but he's just kind of, going along with company lines.
Well, and don't forget the attempted two inning saves on Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen blowing games back to back when the second game he shouldn't even have gone to him, and he blew it again. So, this is another loss that falls on. And that's 2 years in a row. So I don't know if last year it was Robert's fault, and so they wanted to take a bigger control of it. Well, they proved that they're no better at it either, and that their sabermetrics slapped them in the face.
Yeah, and here's how you mentioned Kiki, Dan. He was 2-for-15, so he only hit 133 in the World Series. But you don't have to worry about it, Dan, because one of his hits were a home run. So that we're okay. So everything is fine.
Didn't he start like 4 of the games?
5. So, well, they have been 5 games. They don't have a start totally. So maybe it was 4 and he came in later. But, you kind of look at this. Brian Dozier, who was, been a great player, all-star, MVP contender, he got 5 at-bats in the World Series. He didn't get a hit. He did score a couple runs, walked 3 times, so at least he was getting on base. But 5 at-bats, they made the switch to Austin Barnes. He went 0-for-11. Matt Kemp only got 9 at-bats, Dan, after the year he had for the Dodgers. 9 at-bats in the World Series for Matt Kemp.
They completely mismanaged the game.
Yeah, looking at it, I know, again, everybody was pointing their finger at Dave Roberts, and I know you and I were too. What the heck was he thinking? Why is he doing this? But, yeah, as it turned out, he didn't have that much to do with it. So, just one of those things. I don't get it. I don't know when these guys are going to learn. I mean, you've heard us use the term smartest guy in the room, and that's what these guys are trying to be. They're trying to be the smartest guys in the room, and you know, this is how it's supposed to go, so this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, don't you, Dan, sometimes you got to look at that hunch and play that hunch, don't you?
Yeah. Or continue to play guys that are actually playing. You know, he gets three of the five games.
You know, the guys who got you there, you know, would be nice to, you know, allow those guys to continue to try to help you win since they did get you there. But, yeah, I don't know. I was shocked when I heard that. So.
Well, and you'll like this one even better. Of the three games Kiki Hernandez started, he went 0-10. So, sabermetrically, he was supposed to perform better on those days. Games 1, 2. Yeah, but that was in a pinch-hit situation, which he's been pretty much, I think he pretty much did that all season where he, you know, definitely was one of those guys that came off the mat, off the bench, off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, so you,
all right, well, here,
you essentially put in a guy who was not a starter, who's a bench player, and it was one of the small mistakes that cost you another World Series. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, here you go, Dan. This a little lighter point here. I think you and I found 5 takeaways from the general manager's meetings. And right at the top here, and I saw you just said on Twitter about this, Dan. The Reds and the White Sox are ready to spend. Now it appears they're saying that the Reds are interested in pitching. Patrick Corbin, Dallas Keuchel, J.A. Hop, that kind of thing. The White Sox are not only interested in pitching, but they are also interested in Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Thank you.
So, are the White Sox going to spend any money, Dan?
Well, they didn't spend that much money for the Bulls, so they got money to spend. It makes no sense. And do you put Bryce Harper on the White Sox for 10 years, then, you know, I would think Harper, what is he, in his fifth or sixth season? He's already waited this long. Why is he going to want to wait another 3 or 4 years before he's on a team that contends?
Yeah, I think the whole thing with that. Here's number 2. It says, suddenly the Astros need to add one more starting pitcher.
Well, yeah, they lost one. So. Wow.
Number 3, Dan, 1 year after the Giancarlo Stanton deal, another blockbuster trade remains possible.
Which is?
Aren't there blockbuster about every year?
Oh, they didn't have one in mind. I thought there was.
They give us the same name, and it's funny because it's the same stuff you and I have talked about well before they write this. Mike Trout, Nolan Arenado, Madison Bumgarner, Paul Goldschmidt, and Corey Kluber are the 5 names.
And the 5 names that are not going to be traded. Especially
yeah,
now
they,
that
you
the
know,
Giants are all. Are going to be all in on Bryce Harper.
Well, we'll see. You know, their new GM, what he decides, the president of baseball operation, what he decides.
Yeah, well, he's coming.
So.
He's coming from an organization that is handing the lineup down from the front office. So we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, well, you damn well know. You damn well know Bruce Bochy is going for that. So if Bochy gets fired,
no.
We know why. You know, I know he's in the last year of his deal, so that will be quite interesting. Here's the 4th one, Dan. It says, even during the bullpen revolution, teams value all-star closers. Basically, they're just talking about Craig Kimbrel because I think he's the only all-star closer out there. So,
yeah, who has the coolest stance?
the fifth takeaway, the fifth and final takeaway, Dan, Patrick Corbin is the top pitcher in this offseason's class, but other starters are expected to sign before him. I don't know, is that really a takeaway or a prediction?
I guess it's a takeaway, but I don't know. I mean, I would take away something that's of value, and I don't think we really got anything of value.
Yeah. So,
you know, that's about as exciting or as awesome investigative reporting as David Kaplan did when he discovered. Now everyone stay in their seats, hold your hats to your head, you know. You don't want to blow your head off on this one, but the Cubs are not going to be all in on Harper and Machado. And that's what he got from speaking to everybody at the GM meeting.
Now, going back to this blockbuster deal thing, I was flipping channels on my ride home, and I caught about 5 minutes of this guy. I don't even know who his name was. He was on the MLB network, the radio network, talking about the opportunity that Braves are going to be the team to jump in and try to get the Angels to part with Mike Trout because they have the top minor league system and they can offer the prospects the Angels need to kind of rebuild and, you know, move along. You know, Dan, it seems like we do this every year. Trout is going here, Trout is going there. He never goes anywhere.
No.
You know, do you see the Braves? I mean, you know, it was kind of, and let's be honest, it was kind of a fluke this year that they won the East. Nobody had them there. Everybody thought Washington would win again, and they kind of bubbled up and had a good year. Are they ready to make that move? Because we're probably talking four top prospects to get Trout. Are they ready to give up four of maybe their top 10 guys to bring in a Trout?
I would say even pushing it five, but, you know, I think if there's a team to do it, possibly the Braves. But there's the other side of the coin, which you and I have discussed as to why Mike Trout is not going anywhere, even if they sign Bryce Harper, because this team, I mean, you broke it. Well, you didn't really break it, but, you know, you brought it up here for us to talk about was the fact that the Angels are still looking for a new stadium. How are they going to convince Anaheim, which, Big Jack, I didn't realize this is the third season now that they dropped the old Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It's just the Los Angeles Angels. You know, and people are going to say, oh, well, you still have Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, but you have Mike Trout, I think, and with the draw that they had this year, which was, I think, was it record-breaking for them or just for the league in general, with these two guys, if you have just Shohei, I don't know how that would help entice, you know, the people of whatever area they're trying to go to, California. I don't really know, you know, how they're trying to go about getting a new stadium and how they're going to fund it, because we both know that some of them are publicly funded, partially, if not fully, but to get the new stadium, that is. But how are you going to do that without Mike Trout? That's not happening.
Yeah.
And generally, it's seemingly to me, it takes, you know, 2 to 4 years to get this all together. So
attendance wise, the Angels were sixth overall. They drew just a shade over 3 million people.
Amazing. But you're telling me you're going to go to, let's just say, a board of directors. I don't know who the hell we'd be talking about, but a village board, you know, a city council, and say, well, we have Shohei Ohtani, but we also got these really great prospects from Atlanta that may be up here within the next 5 years. We don't really know. You should help us fund the new stadium. How well is that going to go over? How well does that go over with the fans of Anaheim, the Angels? Personally, I think they should go back to the California Angels because that was just, I like the old stuff. But
They should. But yeah, well, you know, I kind of along those same lines, you know, I think it was when I got home and I actually had the television on while I was having breakfast, they were talking about the fact that the Angels are going to, they want to try to extend Mike Trout. So it's kind of like you got a guy talking about, well, they're going to deal him, and then you got people talking about, no, they're going to extend him. So.
I mean, the only thing the Angels should be thinking about is extending Mike Trout's contract.
Right. Yeah. You know, you what do you, what, basically, you should go to his agent and say, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just that simple. You know, make it easier. But as we're wrapping up here, Dan, I know you and I talked about this because I was kind of helping you plan out your New Year's Eve. And it looks like you're going to have to find something else to do because apparently Floyd Mayweather is backed out of that fight. And apparently it was going to pay him $80.2 million. He told reporters that it was supposed to be an exhibition, but he never really had plans to really fight a 20-year-old MMA guy. Do you buy this, or is this a Mayweather negotiating tactic?
It's probably a tactic, but I wasn't buying this whole fight to begin with.
Yeah, it seemed kind of weird, didn't it?
It just didn't make sense to me. You're going to go fight a MMA kid? Well, we know how Mayweather is, kind of. Not that he's avoiding a fight like that with your guy, McConner. Your guy, because you got the cool T-shirt. But
yes.
It just doesn't make any sense why you would even go that route.
The cool T-shirt with everybody I work with who's too stupid to realize who Conor McGregor is, but that's a different subject. So, yeah, you know, it was, yeah, like you said, the whole thing was weird because I think you and I both know Floyd Mayweather is never going to fight MMA. Because he's going to get killed. You know, he'll box any of those guys. You know, any of those guys want to get in the boxing ring. Like if this, the Japanese kid here, this 20-year-old kid, if he would have agreed to a boxing match, this would be happening. Because Mayweather's going to beat any of those guys. You know, the one thing the McGregor fight proved is you can't get ready to fight a professional boxer in, what they give him, 8-9 months or whatever to get ready for the fight. You know, even if you have some kind of technique, you know, this kid is a kickboxer, it wouldn't matter against Mayweather.
He's no, and that was the other thing. It's while we're in November now. November, you're telling me.
Right.
I've never, not a Mayweather, no boxing match have I ever seen promoted and scheduled within a 2-month time frame. It's impossible. It just defies all logic for boxers. Especially if you're going to MMA style it or change it up for Mayweather. He needs to learn how to do that fight. 2 months.
Dan and I are going to off. This is Fantasy, and I are here for 2 hours on Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon to do all your NFL stuff and give you fantasy football. While we're in it, though, you can see a fulltimeradio.com. Get over there and check out those blogs. Put that link to it. Follow it over to Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget to put the feed with you at fulltimeradio. Of course, you can hunt Dan and I back on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. As always, big thanks for coming on and listening to us live. Dan and I greatly appreciate it when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.
Roll out.